Earlier in the year, we had several months of constant rain, which contributed to heavy undergrowth. Now we're experiencing those westerly winds that come with the Eka, drying out that heavy undergrowth, which makes it perfect for fuel for bushfires. Adam Nicholas, Coordinator for Fire and Emergency Management, Planned Burns and Public Safety from the City of Moreton Bay Council, is here to talk to us about the need for homeowners to manage the risk of fire through regular maintenance. Good morning, Adam.
Hi, Rosemary. How are you?
Really well, thanks. Thanks for coming in. Now, Adam, we've talked about a lot of things, but how can I reduce the risk of losing any of my property to bushfire?
Oh, look, it comes back to the old simple but tried and true methods. Keep the vegetation along your pathways and accesses clear. Make sure that a truck can get in your driveway. Everybody forgets that fire trucks are quite big things, and it's good to have good access. Mow your lawns. If fire finds it very difficult to burn where there's no fuel, so if you keep it nice and low and mowing, it's always a much safer way to be. Long dry grass, dead leaves, branches, just sweep them up, tuck them away. Make sure that anything closer than 2 metres to the ground is trimmed away. That connecting fuel is what allows fire to get from the ground up into trees. So if you have that clear space between, it's got nowhere to go.
Okay.
And you can check up all of this. If you jump online, there's a whole bunch of online resources, and you guys have that on your website, so I'm sure people can use that.
We certainly do, yeah. Now, Adam, I know that displaying the number of your house is so hugely important. You know, I mean, it's lovely to have whatever around your front thing, but it's no good if it's blocking that number.
Yeah, absolutely. Ornamental numbers are lovely. But when you're in a truck in the dark coming quickly, the clearer those numbers are, the make sure that there's no vegetation obstructing them. In this region, we have rural markers, which are those yellow poles with the blue numbers.
Yeah.
And then we have residential. So either way, the appliances need to be able to see them quickly.
Yep. So that just makes it a little bit easier for you. Now, Adam, I know that we often talk about preparing an evacuation kit and having everybody in the family know where the evacuation point is to be. So tell us a little bit more about that, because sometimes we think, oh, well, yeah, everybody knows you can go there or you can go here. But you actually need to have that plan.
Oh, absolutely. Bushfire Survival Plan. It's a resource you can get online and you can fill it in. I personally have done it with my family for many years. We sit down at the beginning of the year and we run through it and just see if anything's changed. It's a good opportunity for the kids to become involved. They feel that they're involved in the decision-making process, and it's less of a scary thing to them. It means that you've got ideas in your head of what your plan is going to be and when you should activate it, because your plan, like mine, funnily enough, is to leave.
Absolutely.
I'm a trained firefighter. I've got resources, and yet where I live, I know that I couldn't defend that house for very long, and I certainly don't want to put the family and the pets at risk doing it. So our plan is, if it gets to a certain stage, we get in the car and we leave. And to do that, in your plan, you need to have things like clothes, access to a radio, medications, documentation and ID, food for the pets. All these critical things that in a rush you're going to forget, but if you've got them planned in advance, you can just pick up that list and go for it.
And of course, insurance policies, Adam, that's something we sort of forget about, because you only do it once a year, basically.
Yeah, so absolutely. And it's a good opportunity when you do that bushfire survival plan to revise your insurance.
Absolutely.
You know, have a look and make sure they're giving you the best deal, but also make sure you've covered everything, because people change furniture, they change location. So, just update that at the same time.
Yeah. And I know we've just covered on that, you know, decide when is the best time to leave. Just give us a little bit more about that, Adam, because I know you guys are out there fighting the fire. You don't want to have to worry about the Mary Jane, Ted and Fred sorting them out. So tell us a little bit about what our fireys expect us to do to look after us a bit.
Yeah, look, and that is a really important thing. At the end of the day, everybody has to take responsibility for their own well-being and
Absolutely.
Their own risk.
Yeah.
And part of that is, one, that bushfire survival plan, and two, making sure you're aware of what's going on around you. And situations like 101.5, the current incidents page at QFES online, Moreton Alerts, if you subscribe or you listen to these things and stay aware of it, they'll give you information about active fires near you. And that's when you start to make your decision. If that fire is a long way away, fine, everything's good as gold, but at least you're aware it's there. Mm-hmm. If it starts to move towards you, or if the weather conditions are going to change, or if you're someone who's got health and mobility issues, start making your plan. And if your plan is to leave, leave early. Mm-hmm. No one's going to laugh if mm-hmm. it turns out you did the right thing and left and got somewhere safe.
Absolutely.
But people might be crying later if you didn't. So, yeah. And of course, if you see something that worries you immediately in your immediate location, just call 000. It's better they know mm-hmm. and they will make a decision as to whether it's a problem or not.
Okay.
But do the right thing. Just make yourself safe.
Yeah. The old common sense sometimes goes out the window in situations like this. Sets in. So we don't want anyone panicking.
We're all human. We've all got our limits. Some of us are better in certain situations than others. But, the idea is if you've got that plan and you've already thought about it, mm-hmm. the chances of that kicking back in when you need it most are high. So,
Good one. Adam Nichols, Coordinator of Fire Management for Emergency Management and Public Safety for the City of Moreton Bay. And you've sort of the manager of just about everything, aren't you?
Jack of all trades.
Homeowners to manage the risk of their fires. And you are actually in the process of doing some planned burns, I believe.
Yeah, we've had a funny season. Mm-hmm. People would look back over the last couple of years. We've had a couple of wet years. We went again, had floods again in January, February this year. We live on a floodplain mm-hmm. and the inevitable cycle is flood followed by fire. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So this year has been a little bit trying because we've had rain at intervals throughout that have delayed the start to the planned burn season. Okay. So what we've now got is a delayed onset. Mm-hmm. Last year, we were pulling our permit around about this time. This year, we're only activating it again right now. So you'll see a lot more smoke in the air over the coming weeks mm-hmm. because we're going to try and compress almost 3 months' worth of planned burn season into about 4 to 6 weeks.
There you go.
So, but a lot more burn activity coming up. And what we now do is we go to a risk-based analysis and we start prioritising our burns for the best impact we can have in the shortest period of time. Okay. What it means, though, is coming into the fire season, these preparations by homeowners and residents are even more important because we're not going to get all the fire off the ground. It's never going to happen. And this year we're going to have a reduced impact as far as planned burns are concerned. So going forward, the more responsibility you can take for your own well-being, the better you are.
Sounds like good advice. Adam Nichols, thanks very much for coming in and speaking to us again, and we do truly appreciate it. And as we said earlier, if you've missed any of this interview, you can certainly go to the 101.5 FM website and just search podcast. Adam, thank you for your time.
Thanks for your time, Rosemary.